Welcome to Just a Minute. Sue Perkins here, and as the minute waltz fades away, what a wonderful pleasure it is to welcome you back to Just a Minute. Time now to introduce you to the four talents who will be smashing Just a Minute this week. They are Paul Merton, Tony Hawks, Heidi Regan and Eleanor Tiernan. Please whoop and cheer for all of them. Of course, I'm going to be asking them to speak on a subject I give them for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating. Let's see how it all goes. And Paul, we're going to start with you. And the subject we're going to begin with is Al Capone. Can you speak for 60 seconds, please, Paul, on Al Capone, starting now?
He came to prominence in America during the Prohibition era, which was roughly the 1920s, where you couldn't legally buy alcohol in America. He was one of those gangsters that profited enormously at the time. Eventually, they caught up with him for not paying his taxes, and he was sent to prison. There was a movie vaguely based on his life called Scarface. He did indeed have a scar on his face, and he was very shy about it and tried to avoid being photographed on that particular side of his visage. Al Capone was also the name of my first cat, and what a beautiful creature it was. It had little furry whiskers and big ears and the most cute face, and I remember once saying to this kid, we buzz then.
Heidi.
Face twice?
Yeah. Face, two face.
Scar face and face.
Oh, his yes.
Face. Yeah. Scar face had a scar on his face and the
scar on his face. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, listen there, Heidi. Yeah.
I've been playing this game a lot, and Paul's got lots of different names for his cats.
In a previous programme, I could have told you about my cat that was called Omar Sharif. Yeah. But I didn't bother.
Yeah. Correct challenge, Heidi. Well done. Well listened out for. You've got 22 seconds to talk about Al Capone, and your time starts now.
Paul has covered everything I've ever known in my life about Al Capone. I don't know what his favourite food was. Okay, thank you, please.
Was there a repetition of no?
Yes, everything
no,
I know.
No and no, I thought.
Yeah, I said it twice. I said he's covered everything I know.
You don't want to keep going here, do you?
I'm really happy to give it away.
Okay.
Listen, I mean, you said it yourself. You'd had enough, and it was more of an intervention than a challenge there from Tony, who stepped in like the gallant gent he is to say, right, I'll have it, so you can have it, Tony. 14 seconds on Al Capone, starting now.
I see myself as a kind of Al Pacone.
Now,
Al Capone, the dyslexic king of America.
Your challenge, Paul.
Well, unfortunately, the subject is Al Capone and not what Tony said.
Al Capone. It's a correct challenge, Paul. You've got 10 seconds. It's back with you starting now.
Hooch is one of the illegal drinks that were around at the time. And if you drunk this, there were tendencies to send people blind. And Al Capone was undoubtedly amongst all the...
Paul spoke as the whistle went, means he gets that all-important point. And Eleanor, we are with you next. So this subject is the day I left school. 60 seconds, please. Your time starts now.
The
I'm going to say there, but as a very new player of the game, I think it's right to give you the benefit of the doubt here. So we're going to hear a lot more on the day I left school, Eleanor, starting now.
The day I left school was a Friday, and that was a day of intense emotion. My friends and I all hugged and kissed each other. So happy were we to be leaving that premises. There was nuns there that we did not turn our faces to, got on the bus and went to our homes where we thought we might never have a television to watch.
I mean, you've been buzzed repeatedly by Paul, but I wish people could see what we're seeing, which is this.
I mean, every word was a total surprise to you.
You received every syllable like a miracle. beautiful to watch and behold. I loved it. Paul, you did challenge, though. You did buzz. What was your challenge?
Well, it was a hesitation. It was a sort of slowing down a bit.
But you did speak for 42 seconds. So yes. Well done.
To be fair, Sue, she wasn't talking for all of those 42 seconds.
True that, but 18 seconds left, Paul, on the day I left school, starting now.
I often dream about the day I left school. In fact, I dreamt just the other night about that particular event. And it's one of those things where you suddenly get very anxious about it and you think, what's my life going to be like once I leave this school? And then you realise in the middle of your nighttime thoughts that actually you're asleep and you aren't going to be leaving the school that day.
Well done, Paul. Smashed it. Speaking as the whistle went, get the point. And Tony, we are with you now. Let's see what we've got in store. Your subject. Oh, it's natural. Natural to you. Raising hell. You can speak, please, for 60 seconds on raising hell. Your time starts now.
You might imagine that after we finish these recordings, we go down to the dressing room and sit quietly and have tea. But no, we raise hell. Paul and I love dancing to Yes, Sir, I Can Boogie by Baccarat.
Don't tell them that. He's given away secrets of our private life.
I know. I dread to think where he's going next, Paul. But,
I just panicked. I haven't got a charge.
No,
panicked.
I mean, I understand.
Try to keep that sort of thing secret.
Listen, can I just say that what goes on in the bowels of the BBC should never stay in the bowels of the BBC, just to be clear. But don't shame Paul, because much as he gives himself naturally to rhythm and dance, he doesn't like talking about it publicly. So with that caveat in place, Sony, you've got 43 seconds on Raising Hell, starting now.
There may have been a little bit of fantasy about what I just told you, but the next bit is true. On the coffee table, there are some chocolate chip biscuits. That man over there ate five of them before this began. And it was...
I need the energy for all me dancing. Telling people I had five chocolate chip cookies. And downright lie. I didn't eat five, I ate four of them.
Yeah.
So, deviation.
Well, I can say that the pack was flaccid by the time I got to them. So, so in this instance, I will say to Tony that you get the subject back, but please stop being specific in attacking Paul. We don't know how many biscuits he ate before he gave way to dance.
Yeah.
28 seconds starting now.
It is something that a group of people might do if they were angry, perhaps. Raise hell. Or if they were particularly happy...
Paul.
Repetition of raise.
Yes, raising is on the cards. So 19 seconds is available to you, Paul, on raising hell. This is your chance to put the record straight.
Absolutely.
Your time starts now.
I had a kitten called Hell, and I raised it into being a cat. And what a beautiful feline it was. Hell used to walk around the neighbourhood and people would say, look, here comes Hell, create an enormous fuss as it sprays up the wall. And people would say to me, where do you get these gorgeous pets from? And I'd say, it's all... What was that?
I don't know.
I think there might... People might have...
There was
indeed. Two people, yes.
There were
yes.
Two people. Yeah. Well done.
There you go.
And the extraordinary thing about that challenge is it leaves you with half a second. So, what an intervention. Tell us whatever you fancy, really, on Raising Hell in 0.5 seconds, starting now.
The rolling...
Eleanor speaking as the whistle went means she gains that all-important point. Now, Heidi.
Yes?
I'd like you to speak for 60 seconds on cult classics. Yeah, without hesitating, repeating or deviating. And your time starts now.
I guess your classic cults are the ones where they all think it's doomsday, or where they sleep with a guru, or those ones where everyone does yoga. I have never joined a cult, not because I have a strong mind, but I don't have the core strength for the Pilates. If we're talking specifics, I'd say the big ones are your Charles Mansons or your Scientology. I don't know if I can say that on the BBC. Maybe I'll...
Paul.
Repetition of B.
Indeed.
I enjoyed that immensely.
It was educational. Teaches us to avoid... I mean, I'm suspicious of yoga anyway, but you're right, it's a gateway drug.
25 seconds, Paul, on cult classics starting now.
We often think of television programmes being cult classics. Classics? Cult classics.
Tony, you buzzed.
Yes, deviation from the English language.
Indeed.
It was. Absolutely. You've got 21 seconds on cult classics, and your time starts now.
My favourite cult classic pop record was released in 1988 by a group called Morris Minor and the Major. Stutter Rap, it was called. Amazingly, some of you here don't know it, but it was brilliant, as Paul will testify, and we do dance around to that after the other record has finished. We...
Oh, Paul.
Well, there was a hesitation there as he was promoting the record that he had written himself.
Slightest of hesitation.
Yeah, wasn't it just? So anyway, cult classic. When you think of Flash Gordon, have I got it yet?
With half a second remaining. All right, Paul, it's yours. Cult classics, your time starts now.
Flash Gordon!
At the end of that round, let's have a little gander at the scores, why not? We've got Heidi in third place, we have Tony and Eleanor in joint second, and a little way out ahead, we've got Paul Merton in first place. And we move forthwithly into the second round. And back with you, Paul. This time the subject is grave robbing. Wow. Can you speak about... I'm almost worried if you can speak about grave robbing without hesitating, repeating or deviating. Well, have a listen anyway. Your time starts now.
Well, it's one of those habits I can't quite shake. I often go into the woods late at night and I think to myself, there's a cemetery just on the other side of that wall. Here I have a shovel and a bucket. I will climb over the aforementioned fence, which is...
Tony.
Deviation.
What?
He hasn't mentioned his cat called grave robbing.
No. Well, that's actually quite sad, because it was the grave of hell that I was going to. Yeah, it's quite sad, that. Sorry, we've got a bit emotional there.
Well, I'm... For fear of upsetting your delicate emotional balance further, so it's an incorrect challenge, but I really enjoyed it, so I'm going to give you a point, Tony. And you get to keep the subject. 46 seconds on grave robbing. Paul starts now.
Two of the most famous grave robbers in Edinburgh were Burke and Hare, and there was a film made about them sometime in the 1950s, I believe, co-starring Boris Karloff as the doctor that was persuading these two individuals to go out at...
Tony.
Was there a repetition of two again?
I think there was.
Well, listen, that means you get it back in this game of grave-robbing ping-pong. Which is not a phrase I thought I'd say, but I have said it. So 32 seconds remaining, Tony. It's yours starting now.
In the old days, when you used to have pharaohs and kings and things, they would bury all their wealth with them, thus making grave-robbers particularly interested in them, and would hang around nearby pyramids and things like that with a toothpick to try and get in, or anything else they had at hand. And they would become rich people if they succeeded with their grave robbing. And many did. One particular...
The famous ancient Egyptian toothpicks.
Yes.
I'm surprised I didn't get buzzed on that.
I like the phrase pyramids and things like that. Your depth of knowledge.
You were speaking as the whistle went, though. You get the point. And Eleanor, your subject now. It's making friends on the internet. All right, let's see what you've got to say in 60 seconds, please, on making friends on the internet. And your time starts now.
Living in the age of social media is a great time to make friends on the internet. I make a friend on the internet every day. Lately, I had a friend who asked me a question. The man asked if I... Yes.
Heidi.
Repetition of asked and friend.
And friend,
yes,
yeah.
Friends-a in plural is on the card. So, yeah, correct challenge. 40 seconds you've got, Heidi, on making friends on the internet. Your time starts now.
Making friends on the internet is impossible because it is a cesspit of the worst of humanity. But do follow me on Instagram, Heidi and underscore Regan. We'll have a great time and try to ignore all the horror going on around us, where people say the foulest things to each other, but we also get to see little cat videos, and that's worth it for all the horror in my head.
Eleanor.
Repetition of horror?
Yes, that's correct. A repetition of horror. Well done. So, you get the subject back 11 seconds. Making friends on the internet. Your time starts now.
The thing the person asked me on the internet was...
Oh. I think we had asked a couple of times before.
We did. And that's a very hard thing to remember sometimes, is that you can't repeat from your previous iteration. But you're new to the game. I'm minded to give you the benefit of the doubt because there's only 6 seconds remaining. Making friends on the internet starts now.
People take money from you on the internet, and that is not a very...
Eleanor narrowly avoided the buzzer there, spoke as the whistle went, and gained the point. Now, Tony, what have we got for you? How I avoid the rain. Wow. Well, you're an outdoorsman. Let's hear it. 60 seconds. How I avoid the rain, starting now.
I guess there must be many ways to avoid the rain. The best might be not to get up at all in the first place, because then you won't have rain falling on you, unless, of course, you're camping, which is a nightmare, isn't it, if you're in a tent and the rain starts to seep in every corner of that little canvas thing. But we won't go into that. But I avoid the rain mostly by putting up an umbrella. It's a brilliant invention. I strongly recommend you go and get one. You push...
Sorry, could you slow down? I want to take notes. Dictation speed, if you will, Tony. There's a lot of people at home who want to write this stuff down. Yeah. I use an umbrella to get the rain out.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the most inspiring of subjects.
To be fair, if umbrella didn't come up on a subject, how I avoid the rain, we might worry, but I enjoyed the interruption. Yeah. You get to keep the subject 29 seconds remaining on how I avoid the rain. Tony, starting now.
Sometimes I fly to the Sahara Desert because I've noticed there isn't very much rain there, and thus I am avoiding it. I'm hoping...
Paul.
There's no rain and there's no airports in the Sahara Desert. You can't fly.
I'm rich enough, Paul, to have a private jet. I land on the sand.
Ooh.
Listen, I've been doing this show for 30 years and I've saved up the money.
That's some sweet cash right there. Yeah. That's some sweet
big money. I've been saving up the money as well, but I've only got enough to buy some sand. You'd be cheaper buying an umbrella. Flying a private jet to the Sahara Desert.
I have to accept whimsy, and so I will allow Tony to keep the subject. 19 seconds remaining, starting now.
I can't stand the rain! And people sang that song. I don't know whether you remember it. Against My Window was the next line. Tina Turner covered it. She was a nice lady. She didn't like getting wet either. I once went to a party with her where they were playing Yes, Sir, I Can Boogie, and Raising Hell, a cat came into the room. And you would not believe.
Tony, speaking as the whistle went, gave us some valuable tips as he did so, gets a point. Lovely Heidi, your subject now, street smarts. Tell us something about that, please, in 60 seconds, and your time starts now.
Street smarts is when you know how to carry yourself on the street. I'm very good at it. When I'm in an area that feels unsafe and my spidey sense starts tingling, I just do something like get my phone out straight away, turn on the torch, and point it at myself so that I am well lit up if any dangerous thing starts to happen. I shine it right in my eyes so they'll see what's going on as they try to attack and maybe they'll feel bad about it. I also shout out things like...
Eleanor.
It was a hesitation.
Slight hesitation.
I was worried they couldn't hear everything I was saying because they were laughing so loud.
I enjoyed that technique for protecting yourself.
Thank you.
Sort of a bright torch shone in your own face.
Yeah. Certainly. Do try it at home with the umbrella advice.
It makes them feel bad. Brilliant. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, do you get attacked much in the Sahara Desert?
subject challenge from Eleanor means you get the subject, which is street smarts, need I remind you, and your time starts now.
I have a different approach to Heidi on street smarts and keeping a person safe outdoors. When I'm walking home alone, I will often stop in the petrol station and buy myself a bottle of fancy water called San Pellegrino water. And
Heidi.
Oh, I can't believe it!
I mean, they'll be delighted with the plug, so you may well get a sponsorship deal out of it.
Who knows?
Yeah. So, Heidi.
Repetition of water.
Yeah, there was a repetition of water. I'd be tempted to come back and find out what your approach is, but there's only 3 seconds remaining. So, Heidi, that's what you've got to finish this subject. Please, starting now.
Street smarts is also about dressing well. Always wear...
So let's take a look at the scores. Heidi, slightly bringing up the rear. Eleanor in third, Tony ahead in second, and Paul just marginally ahead of him in first position. And the next subject is for you, Eleanor. Jumping the gun.
Jumping the gun is where you go in too early on something before the...
That's right. Really, I enjoyed that. Go on, have a point. I like it. I panicked and then I realised and it's beautiful. All right, so what can you tell us that you haven't just told me already? On jumping the gun in 60 seconds, starting now.
Okay, an example of jumping the gun would be if you're on a first date with somebody and then they propose marriage to you. That is not a good thing, even though it might end up in that situation anyway. So I would advise.
Yeah. Tony.
Was there hesitation there, was it?
A bit of hesitation, repetition
of all sorts of things.
There was lots of stuff going on.
Yeah, lots of stuff going on.
It's fair to say. Jumping the gun's all yours then. You've got 40 seconds, Tony. Your time starts now.
My first wife I met on our first date and I jumped...
First wife, first date.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great format.
Yeah. It's good. My goodness.
Patented, for God's
sake. 30 years I've been playing this and I make
it. But you've got a private jet out of it, haven't you?
Paul, you've got 35 seconds on jumping the gun and your time starts now.
Jumping the gun. There's a famous film starring Leslie Nielsen called The Naked Gun, and I find these movies immensely funny. Now, the actor that I've just mentioned is very good at playing it droll. He's got a very straight face.
Tony.
Is this deviation? I mean, he's really not talking about jumping the gun. He's talking about Naked Gun, isn't he, do you think?
Yes.
He is talking about Naked Gun, and I suspect, because you've given us a lot of glorious detail, that we were tending towards
a
deviation indeed. Okay. So I'm going to give you that, jumping the gun. 21 seconds, Tony, your time starts now.
In America, anyone can go out and buy a gun and then jump over it. At least in this country, you can't do that.
I'm sorry, was I interrupted for this? This is right up there with if it's raining, buy an umbrella.
I'm making a valid point. You know, it's so easy in America to jump the gun.
It's a very literal approach, I'll give you that, Paul. But under the rules of just a minute, he's allowed to do it.
So he is allowed.
He's got to keep the subject 13 seconds on jumping the gun. Starting now.
My cat, the gun, was very keen on jumping. And we would go into the garden. I set up a little assault course for it to do. And it was four faults if she knocked over any of the things that I'd put up there. She knocked over.
Tony, speaking as the whistle went, so many cat lovers. Wonderful. And we're now entering the final round. That was such a complex broth, wasn't it, that?
It sounded like you've just unveiled the star prize.
Heidi, this last round starts with you, and who knows, may end with you also. Cheating at board games. Can you speak for 60 seconds on that without hesitating, repeating, or deviating? Starting now.
Cheating at board games is something I would never do, not because of my morals, but because I know I would get caught. I do a subtle type of cheating, which is that they say the best revenge is to live a good life. So while we're playing the game, I will show how happy I am no matter how badly I'm going. I'm doing it tonight, you might have noticed. And it is very clever cheating. If I do cheat at other...
Paul.
Well, there was a hesitation there.
Yeah, because I couldn't tell if I'd said cheat already.
I know. And do you know what? I don't think you had.
Well, that's a shame.
Right, but it was 32 seconds. It's a rollicking great go. But correct challenge, Paul. You get the subject. 28 seconds remaining. Cheating at board games starting now.
Sometimes when you're playing Monopoly, which is a game that goes on forever, you are tempted to cheat just to get the thing over. There are some people, of course, that say that that particular board game is a wonderful thing to play. And I do realise there are devotees of all kinds of, like Cluedo, for example, where you have a list of suspects in a country house and you say, was it Reverend Green with the lead pipe in the conservatory? And people get very excited about that kind of thing. My favourite board game, without any doubt, is...
Yes, Paul spoke as the whistle went, and that concludes our final round. So let's take a look at the scores. Eleanor in fourth place, just ahead of her is Heidi in third, raging out ahead. We've got Tony in second place, but pipped by tonight's winner, Paul Merton. And there, my lovelies, I'm afraid we've got to leave you. But first of all, thanks to the wondrous players of tonight's game, Paul Merton, Tony Hawkes, Heidi Regan and Eleanor Tiernan. We're indebted, of course, to both Ian Messiter and Nicholas Parsons. And we also thank Sarah Nichols for blowing her whistle so perfectly. The producer was Rajiv Karia, and it was a BBC Studios production. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thank you so much for listening wherever you are. And please do join us if you can next time we all play Just a Minute. Thank you.